border to border, across the Commonwealth of Kentucky. This is Big Blue Insider. Talk to Dick Gabriel. Call 859-280-CATS. That's 859-280-2287. Or statewide at 1-800-606-GAME. That's 1-800-606-4263. Or you can tweet the show at Big Blue Insider 1. Now, here's Dick Gabriel.
Hello, everybody. Through the facilities of the iHeartMedia Megaplex, this is Dick Gabriel. This is the statewide edition of the Big Blue Insider. Coming up, we will chop it up. Kentucky's win that made the Wildcats 3-0. Another big game coming up, and we'll look ahead. Why? Because we can do that. Coaches can't, but we can. To the SEC schedule. Billy Rutledge in the studio. So is Aaron Gershon. Be a part of the statewide BBI.
Shamrock Bar and Grill on Pageant Drive has always been your home for good food, great times, cold beer, and the biggest games on TV. But did you know you can bring that world-famous Shamrock atmosphere to your home? Shamrock's is now delivering food, growlers, and six-packs to your door. Find our full menu at shamrocksky.com or call our Pageant Drive location at 269-7621. Call them up tonight for delivery. You can also have Shamrock's food delivered by Uber Eats.
A lot has changed in our 35 years at the Boots store, but what hasn't changed is our commitment to having a huge selection of quality name brand boots, Western wear, and accessories. And as always, we strive to give you the best fit possible at a fair, competitive price. Whether you need boots for a day on the job or a night on the town, do your feet a favor and come and see us at the Boots store. We're just a few minutes south of Fayette Mall on Nicholasville Road.
Get your boots at the Boots store.
Have you been dreaming of upgrading your home environment? Maybe a larger TV? A sound system so real you feel you're at the game? Music that plays throughout every room in your house, including the patio? Lighting you control with the touch of a button? This is Barney Miller, and our team of technology experts customizes technology solutions for Kentucky homeowners. Stop by our showroom downtown or visit BarneyMillers.com for more inspiration. At Barney Miller's, if you can dream it, we can design it.
I had no idea buying a big screen meant everybody comes to my house for game night. And what do they bring? Chips. If it weren't for Boone's Butcher Shop, I'd be broke trying to feed them all. All right, let's see. Should I go for the pick five or get a meat bundle? Maybe one of Boone's freezer baskets. So many options. I'm going for the cookout special bundle. Now over to the deli for some cheese, grab some marinade. I love Boone's Butcher Shop. They've got it all.
Boone's Butcher Shop, top quality meats for less. 100 Old Bloomfield Pike, Bardstown. Online at boonesbutchershop.com.
For the health and safety of everyone, people are staying in their homes now more than ever before. It's also important that the air inside our home is as clean and pure as possible. The professionals at Atmosphere Air Quality are here for you. Whether it's duct cleaning to combat allergies, AC coil cleaning, even carpet cleaning and deodorizing, residential or commercial, call them today to set up a free video inspection of your air ducts. 388-4424. 388-4424. Atmosphere Air Quality. The experts.
The Livesey Group is a family-owned CPA firm conveniently located on Pasadena Drive near Nicholasville Road in Lexington. They can help with tax preparation for individuals, businesses, trusts and estates, small business accounting support, including full-service payroll and outsourced bookkeeping services. All the Livesey Group services include free initial consultation and quotes. Bob and Bobby Livesey are native Lexingtonians. They are Big Blue fans and ready to serve you. The Livesey Group, your one-stop shop for accounting needs. Call 296-1913 or visit livesygroup.com.
Border to border, it is the Big Blue Insider. Dick Gabriel, Billy Rutledge, Aaron Gershon. A little bit later on, Jeff Pecoro is going to join us from the UK Radio Network. Aaron, of course, beat writer with the Cat's Paws, has covered Kentucky football for a while, dating back to his days at the University of Kentucky. Well, Mark Stoops, of course, we all know now that he was not happy, lots to work on. What did it look like upstairs, high above the field, from the press box? Did it seem, did it feel as sluggish as it seemed?
Offensively, there's no doubt about it. I mean, the defense played a, you know, a near perfect game, really. But the offense, yeah, it definitely did. There were, you can definitely see the missed blocking assignments. And I think, like Mark pointed out pretty well today during his press conference, it wasn't all on the offensive line. There definitely were some bad offensive line play. And Mark kind of touched on the left side, kind of got beat this week. It was kind of Horsey and Burton kind of who bear the brunt. But yeah, there were some wide receiver blocking issues. And, you know, he mentioned that one play that could have been a 20-yard game. That was Dane Key and Chauncey Magwood, who missed a couple blocks at Florida. That happened again. And yeah, they're just missing some blocks. And I think, you know, one thing I asked him about this week, and I think they're going to get it back naturally with Chris next week, is they got to start running downhill again. I mean, as much as Kavassier Smoke can be explosive if he gets into open field, he likes to run east-west. He is not exactly a guy who's going to go straight up the gut or even just cut it straight. And it's just not happening right now. And then you put the ball on the ground four times. Luckily, recovered three of them, but put it on the ground four times. And, you know, both picks by Will. And I know Stoops talked about maybe missing a route there, but I don't know. Those seem like pretty bad decisions. Those were pretty clear. The defender was standing right there. And from up, at least from my point of view, they looked to be on Will. And I think Coach Scangrillo, who was just as mad after the game on Saturday, kind of said, you know, it's a mix of both. And, you know, Will does deserve some blame from it. But also, Will made some incredible throws. And that one he made on the back foot to Brendan Bates is one of the best I've ever seen him play. So, you know, it wasn't all awful, but definitely could see why there's some upset emotion there.
After the game, as you know, I'm upstairs still doing the post-game radio, and you guys are down talking to the players and the coaches and reading the transcript of Scangarello's comments. Man, my eyebrows shot. He said I did a poor job calling plays.
He said he was disappointed in himself. I think he's through and I was disappointed in myself as a man. I was like, wow, okay, calm down. You're all right. But, yeah, he was not happy. And you can see why. Again, you know, you put the ball, that's going to be the pet peeve of any coach, especially an OC, putting the ball on the ground. And they put it on the ground four times and threw it away twice. So they got a lot to clean up. They have another game against the thing that's good about this week is Northern Illinois' defense is not very good. No. They're ranked 111th in the country against the pass. They're 118. So this should be a get right week, at least on paper. But, you know, we've been saying it was important to do that against a, you know, an FCS foe. That didn't happen. Didn't quite happen against Miami. And, you know, it's happened in flashes, but you got to be more consistent.
Yeah. And it's not an excuse, but they've not had the same starting five up front for any of the three games, but you know, you got to work through that.
They have enough talent.
Especially against a mid-major, if you will. And Billy, to Aaron's point about Chris Rodriguez eventually getting back, again, I was talking to Freddie Maggard about this earlier, and Rich Scangarello made no bones about the fact that they're going to try the outside zone blocking scheme that Liam Cohen tried to introduce last year. It's an NFL kind of thing, and you watch a ton of NFL. You know, and Billy, of course, is our network studio producer. So you've got your hands full listening to the game, and you can watch some of it, but you can watch the replay more than anything. But the bottom line is, I don't know how much more north-south we'll see, because that's what Kentucky went back to last year under Cohen with Chris Rodriguez. I don't know how much of that they can do with the offense that Scangarello has installed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's hard to judge the rushing game until we see Chris Rodriguez in that new system. But just I think it's going to make a huge impact, whether it be early in the chains, making it a little bit more progress, or even holding on to the ball. I know he had a couple fumble troubles last year, but if you're a first-team All-SEC player, I think there's an expectation that you're going to come in and set the tone. And I think that's what Kentucky's been missing, is their rushing identity. That's what we've known Kentucky to be for so many years. And to that point, the defense has been so good this year. Man. You know, I think they only allowed one first down in the first half, and that came with like 5 minutes left
in the second quarter. That's exactly right.
I want to ask, Aaron, what do you think it is that's so good about this defense, maybe better than in years past? What is it that kind of allows them to stand above the rest?
Man, they're well coached. I think that's part of it. They fly to the ball, man. I mean, they're really – you don't see them missing assignments. You don't see them leaving guys in space. And, you know, as soon as if there is a completed pass, I think they got burnt on one screen. That was just, I think Stoops credited the scheme by Youngstown, but they don't allow many yards after catch. They're just all over it. And it's really impressive. I think the one thing they're trying to get better at still is getting home on those sacks, but they're still able to limit yards, and they're doing a great job getting hands on balls. That was an issue last year. They didn't grab many interceptions. I think they might have even been either second or last in the SEC in the interception department. This year they've been able to get a few picks, but more importantly, they're batting balls. I mean, we've been talking Carrington Valentine, but what a difference a year makes for that kid. He's been outstanding, and he leads the country, or he's tied for the lead in batted passes, and finally got his first interception. I mean, he's done a 180 this year, which has been really fun to see. So it's a very, very impressive defense so far. And what I think makes it even more impressive is they're pretty young. I know they have the vets, obviously, at the inside linebackers, and that helps. But you're talking to Alex Afari making a big difference.
Oh, man.
Keaton Wade played a great game, and he's going to have to step up now with J.J. Weaver week to week. And, up front, I mean, those guys have played a little bit, but, Ripka's a first-year starter. Rogers is a first-year starter. Ox is coming back off the injury. So, these guys are still pretty young outside of a couple spots, and they're making impacts.
Well, and I think more specifically on defense, I think it is the linebackers.
Oh, yeah.
Which everybody knew was going to be the strong point, but – more directly to your point, it is the back four as well, because it was going to be the question mark. And I can't remember who had the story in the local paper today about just how well the D-backs have been playing. Mm-hmm. And I know you've written about it as well.
Yeah.
Hard to miss.
I mean, they're the only pass defense in the SEC left, and I think one of like five in the country.
Yeah.
No passing touchdowns allowed.
I think Air Force is the only one.
I think it's, George, because George gave one up in garbage time. So
that's right.
Kentucky holds that one.
Well,
over the
and we
right
talk
now.
With Carrington Valentine, and in fact, Curtis Birch put it out on the UK Sports Network Twitter feed about, and Curtis talked about it in the show just prior with Darren, about Carrington, because I asked him, I said, the interception was impressive, and it was all well and good. But the breakup of the Bryce Oliver had himself a touchdown.
Absolutely.
And yet there were two hands for Bryce Oliver. There was a football. But also in that equation was a hand that belonged
to
Carrington Valentine. And he never quit fighting. And then he just, again, let gravity help on the way to the ground and ripped it out of his hands.
Yeah, and one thing, I asked Brad White about Carrington. I was working on a story about him during the spring. And what he said was, route recognition, especially at the top of the route, just knowing what your receiver is going to do, locking in with him was something that had to get cleaned up. And I think we saw it on full display against Tennessee twice, where he was just absolutely cooked by the receivers, for lack of better terms. And man, that's changed this year. He just seems to have a better understanding of what the guy in front of him is going to do.
Billy, we've got the NFL Monday night game for the first of the two games tonight, the Titans and the Bills, and of course, former Wildcat Bud Dupree making some plays already. And I bring that up because Tom Leach, you heard him talk to Mark Stoops about, and he kind of ticked off the names of the Stoops players that we get to watch on Sundays. And again, you're a big NFL guy. But when we talk about pressures and defensive big plays, a lot of the guys who made those big plays are now playing on Sunday for the Wildcats. So, yeah, if you could see a little bit more of that on Saturday now, I think this defense would move up a notch, and just in time for the SEC.
That's right. And, speaking of Wildcats in the NFL, they had a pretty good weekend. I don't know if you saw Mike Edwards had a pick six that sealed the game for the Bucks. Marquand McCall was making plays for the Panthers.
He still lost, though. Sorry, bud.
And I believe Logan Stenberg made a start, I believe, for the Lions. So, I mean, they were all over the place. Speaking of television, though, you talk about the NFL. The game time, I know we're one game at a time, but the game time for Ole Miss Kentucky was announced today, and it's a noon game.
Yeah.
Dick, you are a television guy. Why is it that Auburn LSU is getting the night game and Alabama Arkansas is getting the 3:30 game? How is Kentucky not the night game?
The only thing I can think is that they want LSU at night because that's Death Valley. That's the only thing I can think of. Because clearly, and Aaron and I were going through the entire schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the 3:30 game, as you know, that's the marquee matchup for CBS.
Right. And that one makes sense.
Soon will be ABC or ESPN. Arkansas, Alabama. But I think, without question, the next best game is Kentucky Ole Miss. But all I can think is LSU at night is the atmosphere you want to. Mm-hmm.
Auburn's
the
home team.
Oh, I thought it was at LSU.
It's at Auburn.
And, buddy, I can't answer your question. All this time, I'm thinking it was.
I mean, the one the one answer I got on that, Billy, because I was asked that. Trust me, I mean, Dick and I will both be there at 8 a.m. that day. But the only thing I was told is, you know, ESPN's trying to make an effort to get fans in all day, like locked in. So, you know, starting with a big, you know, at that point with Kentucky, assuming they take care of business this week and Ole Miss does against Tulsa. They'll both be top 15 teams. You have that game to start the day. I mean, maybe that's the logic. But
so you're telling me that they think that's a better way to lock in fans than
LSU Auburn?
That's
what I was told that
they think. But what that means is they're giving up the 7:30 slot.
Yeah, that's the problem. Look at your 7
they think
o'clock
people
slot.
Are just, they're just going to hang.
I'd argue that Missouri's not very good, but that SEC Network game, just to see what Georgia can do, is more entertaining than an LSU team that's up and coming and then a bad Auburn team.
Well, it's just a shame because many Kentucky fans have waited to go to Ole Miss. You know, Kentucky hasn't played them
12
there
years.
In a while. So,
that
kind of
robs
them
from
that experience.
They'll be serving breakfast at the Grove, I guess. That's a shame. Of course, you know, you can stick around the Grove after the game, but not much fun if your team loses, right?
A different atmosphere at that point.
Yeah, absolutely is. So that I cannot answer because all this time I thought LSU, I just assumed. You know, and Auburn's a wonderful place. Nice stadium, nice people.
It's
but
a good atmosphere when they're good.
You know, but yeah, but they're not good,
good
right
they're
now.
Awful.
No, oh man, you kind of threw me for a loop on that one. Shoot, I'm telling you that. But well, anyway, like I said, we can look ahead to Ole Miss, but first we need to finish
one game at a time. That's right.
One game at a time.
Mark would be disappointed.
We're the media. We can do whatever we want. but Northern Illinois, I think. Because they've got everybody's attention in practice this week, I'd be shocked if Kentucky wasn't really sharp this week.
Yeah, and look, Rocky, I don't know what their quarterback situation is going to be, but if Rocky Lombardi plays, you just look at the numbers, and actually Will Levis talked about him at SEC Media Day. He's one of the top 3-4 quarterbacks on the schedule this year. He's an elite quarterback, so they'd have their hands full there, but we'll see if he plays. But we all know the Kentucky backup quarterback thing. It doesn't always go great. So the defense is going to have their hands full. The offense has their hands full because they have a lot to clean up, but it is a favorable matchup. They need to take advantage this time.
I really thought we'd see a lot of the backups late, but
they didn't get into a situation that could.
But here's the thing. The backup D-line, the backup defenders didn't get off the field.
Yeah.
That's the thing. You know,
that's part of it.
The backup offensive guys didn't get clocked because the backup defensive guys kept them out of the end zone, to their credit, preserved the shutout, but let the other guys burn up 8 minutes.
And I do think, though, if Will doesn't throw that pick early in the fourth quarter, he wouldn't have come back out for the other drive. I think there's part of it. You don't want to end the game with a pick like that. At least, I know they didn't score a touchdown, but the big play to DeMarcus Harris was a nice little way to cap it off there.
That's like when you're shooting baskets, you know, and you're going in for the evening. You got to make your last one. You don't want
that's
your
what
last
I was thinking as soon as Will came back out that last drive.
We'll take a break. We're talking with Aaron Gershon and Billy Rutledge. And a little bit later on, Jeff Pecora will join us here on the statewide edition of the Big Blue Insider.
Here are 5 big reasons to buy a Toyota Camry. It's built in the USA. Camry's got style and innovation. It's America's best-selling car. The electrified Camry Hybrid has a driving range over 600 miles. And the number one reason, the great fuel savings. At an EPA-estimated 52 mpg, Camry Hybrid could save you thousands in fuel costs over the next 5 years versus the average new vehicle. Get details of all offers and fuel savings at buyatoyota.com. Toyota. Let's go places.
Tempur-Pedic, Sealy, Purple, and Ashley mattresses. Not sale priced, clearance priced. P-Rats is cleaning out, clearing out, and closing out to make way for new merchandise. Now get up to 30% in extra savings on floor sample and closeout mattresses from the top brands. Get a free power base upgrade on all Sealy mattress sets $5.99 and up. Queen mattresses start at only $1.99. Plus up to 6-year special financing.
Nobody beats P-Rats.
There are lots of ways to make Skyline part of your game plan. You can pregame with friends in 5 ways at your favorite Skyline, or carry out conies to crush during the game. And Skyline is the only place for post-game Cholitos and chili cheese fries. Football, basketball, baseball, or soccer. High school, college, or pro. Doesn't matter. Game time is always a good time for Skyline. So get your game face on and get your Skyline game plan together. Feeling good? It's Skyline time.
At Athenian Grill, our delicious, authentic Greek food is inspired by real family recipes. Our generous portions of perfectly prepared lamb, chicken, and veggies are way too good to keep to yourself. Authentic Greek cuisine. Come check us out at our new South Ashland Avenue and East Main Street locations. Need catering? Give us a call or visit AthenianGrill.com. From our family to yours, let us share our authentic Greek home recipes with you.
Liquor Barn has everything you need for this week's Wildcat action. Now, to stock up on all your game day supplies, all you have to do is head over to your nearest Liquor Barn store. If you don't want to do that, guess what? You can also place an order for pickup or delivery through the Liquor Barn app or the website. Folks, that's all you got to do. It's that easy to shop for your favorite spirits, wine, and beer, and you can do it all in one place with Liquor Barn. Liquor Barn, where Kentuckians go to celebrate life. Go Cats!
Keep playing. Keep working. Keep going. And keep moving. With the exceptional orthopedic care at Baptist Health, with an experienced team and a full line of advanced services and procedures, it's no wonder most people choose Baptist to help them keep on keeping on. Visit BaptistHealth.com/ortho to find a Baptist Health provider.
Welcome back to the Big Blue Insider, border to border. Dick Gabriel, Billy Rutledge, Aaron Gershon coming up in a few minutes. Jeff Pecoro from the UK Sports Network will join us as we talk about the Wildcats. 3-0 and ranked number 8, as high as number 8. I think the coaches have them number 9, I think, if that's the...
Yeah, second straight week, they're one spot behind the and the coaches.
Which is fine. And we talked about the fact, I think Darren might have brought it up, first time since 77 Kentucky wins as a top 10 team, and a lot of fans will recall that the Wildcats had cracked the top 10 with Andre Woodson and Keenan Burton in that bunch and went into Columbia, South Carolina on a Thursday night and put the ball on the ground, what, 4 times, something like that. It was a terrible night. They just weren't up to it.
And they were also ranked, not in the AP, but they were ranked number 9 in the college football rankings in 2018 going into the Georgia game. For the SEC East, and they laid an egg in that one, obviously.
Yeah, they've had a couple of opportunities, and that South Carolina team wasn't that great, quite frankly. And neither is this South Carolina.
I was going to say, they don't look very good.
They're lousy.
And yet, preseason, everybody loves them.
That was all the talk when I was down in Atlanta, was South Carolina this, South Carolina that. Are you going to pick them to finish second like I am? Like, no, I'm not going to. I'm going to pick them to finish fourth this year, which was nice of me, so... Yeah.
Well, two reasons. Spencer Rattler. Okay. That's a decent storyline.
It's
all
a
right.
good story.
And he wasn't playing badly when he lost his job. He got hurt.
That's true.
You know, at Oklahoma. But to me, I swear, and I'm not the old guy shaking his fist at a cloud. I really believe that South Carolina marketing is what had a lot to do with that. I mean, Shane Beamer has done a great job.
Has.
With the videos, with TikTok and all that, he's done a great job. But you got to produce on the field, and they're not impressive at all.
The TikToks don't win championships, Dick.
Hold on. Let me write that down.
Exactly.
They're,
you can write
they're
that
down.
Recruiting in a throw pillow.
They're recruiting at a really high level. But
they are.
It's, you know
they
what?
Are.
They were 2-8 in 2020. Two and eight. And that takes time. And you know.
But that's the other thing, Aaron. I'm glad you brought that up. They surprised everybody last year with 7 wins and a bowl trip.
Right, but part of it, you got to look at, you know, I give South Carolina credit. They won the games, but they beat a Florida team that had packed it in. Dan Mullen knew his fate. They beat up on Vanderbilt. They won all their non-conference games, and really the only game that was like, wow, they pulled it out was the Mayo Bowl, whatever it's called now, against North Carolina, and Sam Howell
still
playing.
And he wore the mayonnaise.
And he did. And I give credit. That was a great comeback season and all that, but you got to also take into account that they played some teams who had rolled over.
What do you think about Shane Beamer and another coach like Scott Satterfield? I mean, Satterfield has just started his 4th year at Louisville, and they collapsed at home against Florida State.
Terrible.
Shane Beamer, I believe, only his 2nd, right? Or less
he's
than
in year
4.
Two, right.
But, you know, we've seen what Stoops did and the patience that the Kentucky administration showed him. How many years is it before you don't show that patience?
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen a lot of quick triggers lately in college football, but what's say like a year that you would want to see your coach go to before you fire him? Like?
Yeah, I think it is usually year 4 is like the sweet spot. And the thing is with Satterfield that's really interesting is, you know, they were 2-10, and then he comes in, they're 8-5, and they beat Mississippi State in the bowl game. And it's like, wow. That automatically ups the timetable, right? Fans are going to expect more quicker. And what have they done since? They've taken steps back, and this year looks like it might be the worst year yet. So I think typically like 4 years, and I think Stoops 2016 would have been his fourth year, right? Yeah, and that's when they got to their first bowl game. I think that's kind of the sweet spot to at least start, especially when you're inheriting a rebuild. It's different if you're like Venables at Oklahoma when you're being handed a great program. But when you're going through a rebuild, I mean this was year four for Scott Frost. It was time to show up. He didn't show up. He got the boot, and I think that was the right move there. So I think Satterfield, though, man, when you had such a good first year outside of the Kentucky game, and then kind of lay three eggs, it's hard to survive that, especially with Purdue underachieving and maybe Jeff Brohm being open to a leaving right there.
Yeah, and he's turned down Louisville once before.
I think this time might be different.
Maybe so. But this is kind of an odd thing, but this is where tradition can work against you, obviously, because expectations are higher. And, you know, of course, we'll just think about Kentucky basketball. You know, I remember when Gillespie was struggling and a couple people called in and said, you know, anywhere else, people would say, no, this isn't anywhere else. This is Kentucky. Standards are different. And it sounds odd to say it, but standards are different at U of L because Howard Schnellenberger came in, took a program they were about to either cancel or move to 1AA, and he starts talking national championship, and he flirted with one and won a Fiesta Bowl. And then here comes Petrino. You know, John L. had some fun. Here comes Petrino, for better or worse. He had them incredibly relevant in the national picture. Yeah. And then he runs off, tried to go to Auburn, then ran off elsewhere. And they've struggled ever since. So fans have had a taste of that. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, you're right, 8-5 is a great start.
After 2-10, they were the best. He won ACC Coach of the Year, rightfully so.
But you can't get back to that.
That's the problem.
Both my brothers went to U of L, and I just never understood. And being from Louisville, and I used to go to games growing up at the old Fairgrounds Stadium. Why don't you go? Oh, you got a million plus people in the metropolitan Louisville area. There's a D1 football program right there. I realize not all the games are Louisville versus Oklahoma or whatever, but what else you got going on, and they show up for the soccer games.
Yeah.
Why don't they go to college football?
Well, you're preaching to the choir there a little bit. I also went to Western, and that's a market that can't get fans to show up to games, even with the exciting.
It's a little
Jeff
different
Brohm,
though.
It is. But at the same time, that's what's holding Western back from joining a conference. This is why these conferences aren't accepting Western. Yes. Yeah. Because they don't have the television market. It's not a television market to these conferences. So I think there is a little bit of, is going to a football game the best way to spend my time when I have a widescreen television in front of my
face
true. And I can get my beer out of the fridge.
That's right.
And I can't
I don't
buy
have to pay
beer
to park.
At some places.
Yeah.
And you
got to
be good.
Park,
you got to be good. People are not going to invest in your program and spend money on tickets if you're not good. We've seen it here in Lexington. Yeah. That there's the famous picture of that 2012 Vanderbilt game with James Franklin running up the score and one fan in the upper deck. I mean, we've seen it here. And
that was the end of the Joker Phillips
era. And Louisville, I mean, they did a decent job showing up against Florida State, but I guarantee you, if they don't get it together, like, it's going to be empty this week against USF.
And it's funny you mentioned that, and gosh, that was 10 years ago. Of course, that's how long Stoops has been here. But that really it was a marked line on the timeline as to when Kentucky fans stopped throwing bad money after good, because again, I've been here forever and I've seen close to full stadiums watching bad football.
Yeah.
But even when U of L was better, you didn't see a whole lot of sellouts. Yeah. So anyway, I'm not trying to bang on them. I just haven't understood why they struggled, and it's been good for Kentucky, obviously.
But
there was a point
where
UK fans didn't think they'd ever beat U of L again.
Yeah, it's going to be the same result this year, it's going right now.
I think so. Just a minute or two left with Aaron Gershon and Billy Rutledge. Jeff Pecora is going to join us coming up, and we'll probably talk a little bit later about fantasy football. I'm in good shape this week, Billy. You're in a million
leagues. I'm in great shape.
You're in good shape.
I'm in trouble. I need Josh Allen to calm down.
I don't have Randall Cobb on my team, but Mark and Stoops and Tom Leach were talking about former Wildcats. And Randall Cobb did not play under Stoops, but as a former Wildcat. He might be the oldest UK player in the NFL right now.
I think so. Mm.
I think he is.
He was on Sunday Night Football last night, and he didn't say the University of Kentucky.
No.
What did he say?
He said
high school. Yeah. You know, they rotate.
I can respect that.
I've heard him say Kentucky in the past.
He has.
But they do rotate. Either of you guys catch any of Northern Illinois last week?
I know they gave Andy a fight. I was working, yeah.
Yeah, and I think you were still in the studio.
I was still working, yeah, but I lost money on it. Don't worry.
Northern Illinois is like so many of the mid-major geographical directional schools, and they're top 22, mm-hmm. can compete with, you know, a lot of the Power 5 schools. And they gave Vandy everything Vandy wanted, but how about Vandy getting off
good
to a good
start? Good for Vandy. They already surpassed their win total. The Vegas had them at 2.5 wins.
Good scheduling.
Good scheduling. They
beat a horrible Hawaii team, but
still had to go on the road those two games.
Yep. All right, when we come back, more football chatter with Jeff Pecoro, Aaron Gershon, Billy Rutledge, yours truly, here on the statewide edition of the BBI.
Family RV has been Kentucky's number one RV dealer. We stock over 300 new and used RVs. Come see America's top brands like Tiffin, Jayco, Keystone, Forest River, Grand Design, and Winnebago. Don't miss out on our model year closeout sale going on now. Come in now and save thousands. Located at the corner of North Broadway and New Circle Road in Lexington, call us at 859-299-8386 or visit online at northsidervs.com. Go Cats!
Got bugs in your house? Call IPM. We specialize in keeping your home safe. IPM Pest and Termite has a 5.0 on Google reviews, an Angie's List Super Service Award for the past 7 years, and a member of the BBB. This is Matt Schaefer with IPM Pest and Termite. Mention this ad and receive a discount on your pest maintenance service. You can always find out more by going to myipm.com. Call us at 271-8852.
We all know the importance of nutrition and diet for a healthy lifestyle. We also know that dairy foods deliver great nutrition and value. That's reason enough why Kentucky families choose prairie-owned Prairie Farms dairy products, like our two complete lines of delightful, creamy Prairie Farms yogurt flavors, fat-free or low-fat, both fit neatly under 100 calories per serving. Farm-fresh quality from our family to yours. Farmer-owned Prairie Farms.
The same great food you're accustomed to can now arrive at your door. The Cellar Bar and Grill on Lansdowne Drive in the Signature Club is open for delivery and Uber Eats. Check out our full menu online at cellargrill.com. That's cellargrill with an E.com. You can also follow The Cellar on social media or call us at 317-8301. From The Cellar Bar and Grill to your door tonight, call 317-8301 now for The Cellar Bar and Grill delivery.
Attention fleet owners. Your vehicles are a traveling advertisement for your business. Keeping them clean and presentable speaks volumes about your business. With winter on its way, protect your investment with Hydrosphere Services, the only call you need to make to keep your fleet looking top-notch. With Hydrosphere, you're getting the best-in-class power washing service with the best-in-class commercial-grade equipment. Visit HydrosphereServices.com and fill out our online service form or call 219-2200. That's 219-2200.
Hey guys, game's on!
Whether you're cheering on the Wildcats from the stands or from your den,
go Cats!
Dude, you spilled the nachos.
Kentucky Utilities is there with you, delivering safe and reliable energy you can count on. But power isn't the only thing we provide. With KU, you can take advantage of convenient, time-saving services like our online outage map, paperless billing, and auto pay. So while the Cats' energies go to serving up wins, at KU, our energies go to serving you.
Border to border, it's the Big Blue Insider, Dick Gabriel, Billy Gershon. I've done that before. Aaron Rutledge, Billy Rutledge and Aaron Gershon. Jeff Pecoro joined us on the Celebrity Hotline. And the champion, you were talking on TV tonight about defensive backs. And they have been surprisingly good. And you talked about this on the radio Saturday with Tom Leach. In fact, saved that shutout, didn't they?
Yeah. You know, this is now quickly becoming a thin group as well as the offensive line, you know. But, two guys have really stepped up. Alex Safari, you know, the true freshman has just been, man, that kid is – he's going to be the next really great player out of Cincinnati. I mean, his brother in from up there, you know, Mikey Edwards, had the touchdown in the game the other night. And then, you know, so I think he's done a nice job. And, you know, so it's a group that I think what's happened there is Marcus really recruited that hard, because I think he likes, obviously you have to win up front, but I really think that he thinks the back seven can be different makers, in, especially in the SEC play. He's got the best linebacking core, and you know, if you had both of those guys back, one of the deeper secondaries in the SEC as well.
Well, we've talked about this before. You've covered a lot of high school football up in the Cincinnati area, and of course, Mike Edwards came, coming from Cincinnati, as you said, and you were the guy who alerted Vince Marrow and said, hey, there's a kid up here who's pretty good. The Big Ten teams want him. Do you feel like a proud papa when he does things like that on TV, when he has a pick six in the NFL?
Well, I'd feel more like a proud papa if he gave me about 2% of what he's making.
So your affection's for sale, is that what you're telling me?
Are you kidding me? At my age, of course.
Tell me a little
bit,
too.
You got no pride anymore.
That's true. I keep reminding myself of that. Jeff played wide receiver at Kentucky back in the early 80s, played on the two bowl
teams.
Well,
let's not go that far.
Jeff was listed as a wide receiver. No, you played you played varsity football. You know, you did well for the JV team. Anyway, tell me about this receivers room. Stoops got into him a little bit today, and you were sitting right next to me at the news conference. He got on him about their blocking, and you talked about it Saturday afternoon, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, because there was a play, and again, I'm never going to throw a guy under the bus on the air unless it's, you know, blatant and everybody else sees it, because, you know, there are things that we see that are, you know, different than what other people see watching the game. But yeah, there was a running play where if the wide receiver, all he has to do is just get in front of the defensive back and it probably pops for a big gain. And if he blocks the guy, it's an easy touchdown. And I'm talking a 40, 50 yard touchdown run. And he didn't even really try. And they bounced it outside, and his guy's right there and makes the play. So instead of having basically a 45-yard touchdown run, it's a minus one play, and that's what Mark was talking about. And yeah, and you know the story, and you know, Jerry Claiborne said there's never been a run in football over 10 yards when a wide receiver didn't knock a defensive back down, and you know that showed it right there.
Jeff, right next to them at tight end, Mark, actually, I was kind of surprised he kind of dug into them a little bit today, too.
Yeah.
What have you seen from that group? Obviously, they've done a lot of good in the passing game, but it sounds like there's some issues blocking.
Yeah, well, you know what I think has happened is this. They are so talented. There's only so many spots at one time that you can put out there. You know, you can only – the maximum amount of tight ends is really three that you can put out there. And there's – what is there, five in that room that can play?
Yeah.
Sick. Seriously. And I think that they're so I think what happens is when, you know, the number three or number four or number five or number six guy's out there, he's thinking, I've got to try so hard to try to get mine, you know, and these limited number of plays because there's so much. I think that they settled, okay, these are the three we're going to play. And then in certain situations, we're going to use this guy and this guy and this guy. But trying to juggle all of them, you can't really get into a rhythm. And I think that's, you know, Bates plays most of the time and Dingle plays most of the time, right? But then the other guys, it's hit or miss. And I think he's trying to get a feel for what are the best situations to put the different tight ends in. Because like he said, there's probably four of them that are going to be playing on Sundays. And, you know, Josh Caddis, the true freshman, you know, he's still a grown kid. He could be the fifth.
Jeff, we were talking about the wide receivers room, and I, you know, I do want to mention Dane Key and all the how exceptional he's been with already tying the freshman record for touchdowns in a season, and he's done it in the first three games. You know, what is it that makes him so good?
What I like about him is most youngsters, when they get to college, most kids from high school, it's called a passing tree. And it's basically the stem of a route, and then everything branches off of that stem. And when you see a high school kid come in, they settle their hips, they slow down when they make their cuts, and that's a telltale sign for the defensive back to jump the route, you know, because they're making a cut. He doesn't. He runs through his cuts like, you know, a veteran does. He has really good speed. He's like that golfer or a pitcher in baseball that only throws 85 to 90%. He runs his routes 85 or 90%, and then when he needs that extra step or two, he's got it, you know, in reserve. A lot of guys go out there and they just go 100% all the time, and they don't have that extra kick that provides them with separation. He's got that. I mean, he's just got a great knack for his running abilities, his route running abilities. He's got great hands. He is the best hands I've seen in a long, long time.
Wow.
Catches the ball away from his body. I mean, he's as good as Felix. He's as good as Randy Burke. I'm trying to think of the great
Keenan Burton
that they've had at UK. I mean, he's as good as Burton. He's as good as Yeast. I mean, he's that good, man.
Wow. That's high praise, and he's played three games.
yeah.
And he's from Lexington, from Douglas. Just like you came from Tate's Creek. Jerry Claiborne liked, and you were a walk-on, of course, but Jerry Claiborne really liked to recruit Kentucky kids because he was a Kentucky kid once upon a time. Kerr Seymour, regional and national. But what does that mean to this program, Jeff, when guys like him and Jagger Burton, his high school teammate, and there's several Kentucky kids on this team, and they're not just filling up space. They're playing and contributing. What's that mean to the efforts of Stoops and his recruiting staff?
Well, I think that the guys that they get from the state, they can't miss on. There can't be that guy that, you know, you go after and get him, and it's a waste of scholarship.
Yeah.
You know, when the guy, he's just never going to play. Because there are so few players in the state of Kentucky, and that's just because they don't have the numbers that Ohio has and Pennsylvania and, you know, some of the neighboring states to Kentucky. So, you know, if there's 15 guys that are legitimately Division I players, out of those 15 to play at Kentucky, there might be 7 or 8 a year. And, you know, you've got to get those. And they've got to come here. You can't have Jedrick go to Alabama, you know? You can't have a guy go to Clemson. You know, you've got to get those guys. And that's why at the start, Mark had to go up to Ohio, because there just simply wasn't enough. Thankfully, the state has gotten better, and they're just producing better players right now. I mean, Frederick Douglass, goodness gracious, they're a clearinghouse over there, man.
Jeff, I asked you a similar question last week, but I'll say this. Northern Illinois is the 111th ranked defense, 77th against the run, 118 against the pass. Just how important is it for this offense to get some confidence, get some continuity, and get things rolling before they head down to Ole Miss?
I think it's important, but again, there's such a difference in having Chris Rodriguez at running back and anybody else, and I'm not knocking the guys that are back there. Chris Rodriguez is a special, special running back. I mean, he had the opportunity this year. He would probably have passed Benny Snell. I mean, that's how good. He's an All-American. So you're getting arguably your best offensive player back in 2 weeks, and it will change the running game. And let me just put it this way. At the start of the Florida game, they didn't even think Kentucky was even going to try to run. They didn't care. They were just pinning their ears back and going after Will Levis. They didn't care what Kentucky, let's kill the quarterback. That's what they tried to do, because they weren't worried about the running game. With Chris back there, they can't do that.
Yeah, and you make a good point. And I think Mark talked about running downhill. What are you, I know you don't want to signal anyone out, but what are you seeing? I know part of it's scheme, but from Kvasie and Lavelle, that obviously they're just not Chris Rodriguez, but what are you seeing that's kind of leading to their struggles a little bit?
Well, the one thing about this offense that they run is, it's kind of, you know, you say run downhill, but the strength of this is for the running back, and Dick knows all about this. It's like Derek Abney returning punts. He tries to stretch a play and find a lane. That's kind of how this offense is tailored in the running game, being that outside scheme they have. So they're trying to get you out on the edge, Debo Samuels, you know, that style of running where you just try to get to the edge and run. Chris is more between the tackles, so it's going to be very interesting to see. And I think Stoops was asked that question today. You know, this is obviously a different running blocking scheme that you've had in the past. How does that change with Chris? And he kind of said, well, you know, we talked to Yenzer about that, but it's going to be interesting to see how they change that, because he – has to get his shoulders parallel to the line of scrimmage or perpendicular to the line of scrimmage, whatever it is, to be effective. He's not an east-west runner. He's a north-south guy. So it's going to be real interesting to see how they run with him in the backfield in 2 weeks.
Yeah, and it's been interesting to see Tavion Robinson in that Deebo Samuel role in the backfield, Jeff. We had back-to-back callers on the Stoop Show tonight talk about the offensive line and their concern for it moving forward. Are you concerned about them, or do you think that Stoops needs to do something to figure it out?
The problem is, really, what does he do to figure it out? I mean, there's not much he can do, because that's probably the thinnest unit on the team right now, especially if Manning's not playing, you know? I think that what has to happen is those guys have to be on the field together getting snaps and get some continuity with each other, because of all the positions on the field, offensive line, and this is going to sound really hokey, but it's almost like a ballet.
No, you're right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They practice those steps, don't they? I mean, you've been to practice, and they all have to be in sync. It's like, synchronized swimming. And the more snaps that they get with each other, the better they're going to be. So, I give them a break until next week when Chris is back, and then we'll see after Ole Miss how they run the football down there. But, I do think that it would help them to have a nice week running the ball against this defense,
I was trying to remember, Jeff, and I think you had just joined the radio network, or maybe you hadn't even joined us yet, because it was a long time ago, the 1 year that Guy Morris, I can't remember if he was the head coach or was the O-line coach under Mummy at the time, made maybe one substitution during the entire season on the O-line because they had no depth, but all those guys played together. They were like Iron Men. And it worked out. They had a good year, and they all knew each other. So, and it was exactly what you talked about, five working as one. But that's a luxury anymore. And because Kentucky has recruited so well, you do have depth. Now it's just finding the right guys, isn't it? I think they actually know what they want. They got to get them healthy.
Correct, yes. I think that's the better answer is that. They know what they've got, and they know who can do the different things. It's just keeping them healthy and all together. And that's why, like, with what we're going to take a defensive player here, with what J.J. Weaver has, I'm sure he could probably play this week, but why risk it when you can get him a lot healthier in 2 weeks, if that makes sense. And I think that was the same thing with Manning. He probably could have played against Youngstown State, but let's get him better, because the meat of the schedule is coming up. After this week, the next four games are critical to this team.
Jeff Okoro is our guest. He's on our Celebrity Hotline in the studio. Billy Rutledge, Aaron Gershon. We'll step out, and when we come back, we'll talk more football here on the statewide edition of the BBI.
Hey, Blue Boo Nation, Cash Daniel here, and I want to tell you about my friends over at UK Federal Credit Union. I've been a longtime member of UKFCU ever since the first day I stepped on campus, and I think you should become a member as well. UKFCU offers all the products and services of traditional banks, such as checking accounts, auto loans, along with online and mobile banking options. But unlike those other places, UKFCU is a local Kentucky-owned credit union right here in your backyard. They bleed blue just like you and me. UK Federal Credit Union. It's banking, only better.
Federally insured by NCUA. Membership eligibility required. For full details, call 800-234 8528.
Liquor Barn has everything you need for this week's Wildcat action. Now, to stock up on all your game day supplies, all you have to do is head over to your nearest Liquor Barn store. If you don't want to do that, guess what? You can also place an order for pickup or delivery through the Liquor Barn app or the website. Folks, that's all you got to do. It's that easy to shop for your favorite spirits, wine, and beer, and you can do it all in one place with Liquor Barn. Liquor Barn, where Kentuckians go to celebrate life. Go Cats!
First Watch, the daytime cafe, is serving up good mornings to Wildcat Country. Here at First Watch, we begin each morning at the crack of dawn, slicing fresh fruits and vegetables, baking muffins, and whipping up our French toast batter from scratch. We use only the finest ingredients for the freshest taste around. Whether you want breakfast for lunch or lunch for breakfast, at First Watch, everything is made to order and freshness is never compromised. First Watch is proud to be the official breakfast of UK Athletics.
Go Cats.
Here are five big reasons to buy a Toyota Highlander. It's built in the USA. It's got room for up to eight. Highlander's the best-selling SUV in its class. The electrified Highlander Hybrid has a driving range over 600 miles. And the number one reason, the great fuel savings. At an EPA-estimated 36 mpg, you could save thousands in fuel costs over the next 5 years versus the average new vehicle. Get details of all offers and fuel savings at buyatoyota.com. Toyota. Let's go places.
To become a championship team, it takes dedication and teamwork. The team at Lexington Diagnostic Center and Open MRI is dedicated to working together to be a champion for patient care. By providing the best imaging technology, competitive pricing, evening and Saturday hours, and convenient parking, the LDC team delivers quality patient care. Learn more by visiting lexingtondiagnostic.com or call 859-278-7226. LDC provides quality, compassionate medical imaging services at a fair price.
DQ presents. Picture this. Picture the burger of your dreams. It's on the new DQ Signature Stack Burgers menu. A lineup of five premium burgers, like the Flamethrower Signature Stack Burger and Loaded A1 Signature Stack Burger. With 100% seasoned real beef patties, melty cheese, and a combo of top-notch toppings and sauces galore. This dream burger is calling your name. But it isn't a dream. You're ordering at the DQ drive-thru.
Hello.
The DQ Signature Stack Burgers lineup. Try it today. DQ. Happy tastes good.
Final segment of the statewide edition of the Big Blue Insider. Dick Gabriel with Billy Rutledge, Aaron Gershon, Jeff Pecoro from the UK Radio Network. Coming up on most of these same stations, Kentucky and Northern Illinois on Saturday. Jeff, we talked a lot about the O-line. We haven't talked this much about the D-line as well. We know that the back seven has played extremely well, but wasn't the defensive line, it wasn't a cause for concern. But there were question marks because, well, for instance, Bully McCall moves on, and then, you know, you see him on Sundays now. You know, it's tough to lose a guy to the NFL and get better, but front line so far so good, right?
Yeah, and, you know, staying pretty much injury-free, and I think that's the key. And whenever you can pitch a shutout, you know, then all 11 are working in unison. I think they've played good. They haven't been great yet. But we're seeing depth there, and that's the key. It's fresh bodies. Like I said, at Florida, Kentucky just, I think, wore Florida down on both sides of the ball, offensively and defensively.
Jeff, just how big of an asset, I think we all kind of knew it was going to be one, but Jaquez and DeAndre in the middle kind of just calling the shots, and just what have you seen that effect be on the defense this year?
Yeah, I mean, they're and I you know what? I would also add Kedron Smith out there, corner.
Man.
He has really fit in nicely with this group, and obviously they kind of look to him a little. Him and Asian in the defensive secondary are guys that have been around this league for a long time, and I think it's taken a lot of pressure off a guy like Valentine. I think that what those two guys have done inside has taken a lot of pressure off of guys like De'Eric,
Wallace,
Trevor Wallace.
Yeah,
I think you know what he's been able to do. So yeah, I think those two guys are just great play. And wow, Jones has really, for whatever reason, he's the same size. He looks a little quicker to me there than he was last year.
You mentioned Kedron Smith. I thought he had a clear interception in the last game. They reviewed it and it looked like he picked it right off the ground. Am I crazy, Jeff?
No, you know what, guys? Dick, remember this? We were talking about it. They were two plays in a row. Mm-hmm. Tom and I were talking about two plays in a row where they lost both, and I thought they won both of those. You know, it's weird.
Well, obviously, the only replay that we saw, Jeff, and I haven't watched the TV game, was in the stadium, and that's not super slow-mo, high def. I honestly thought the ball touched the ground, but I don't think it touched the ground in a way that helped him make the pick.
Yeah,
you know, I thought he made a clean pick. And as he had the ball, it touched the ground.
Yeah, I saw it on TV. The Kedron, I couldn't believe that one didn't get overturned. The fumble, I thought it could have gone Kentucky's way, but, you know, that was a case, okay, there wasn't enough evidence quite there. But the second one, I couldn't believe.
We keep thinking we're getting, you know, worked over here. And it's at home. You know, I can see it. You know, it's always like, you know, and I keep saying to the guys, you know, Would that have been overturned at Alabama? No. Would that have been overturned at Georgia? No. Why is it overturned here? It's kind of like what everybody says about the game next week being at noon. Why are we – you're going to have two teams that are probably going to be in the top 10 next week, and you're playing at noon.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Playing at 11, Jeff.
Yeah, 11 o'clock Central time.
For us three that are going to be there,
But, we talked about that in the first half hour, and I had to admit I was flabbergasted. All this time I assumed it was a night game at LSU, which is very marketable, but it's at Auburn. You know, and I was at Auburn one year. Kentucky was playing on a Thursday when it was a bad game. Kentucky stunk it up. And the only interesting part of that game was the parking structure caught fire. So they kept going. Do you remember that, Jeff? I don't think you were on the network yet, but I'm sure you were watching. And they kept switching back and forth between the game and the fire. So, you know, I think it'll be a much better game, though. We're going to have to get to the Grove, Jeff, at about 8 a.m. on our way to the stadium.
That's, you know what, that is actually one thing that plays in Kentucky's favor.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Is that they're just not going to be able to get out there and do what they usually do, which for those of you who have never been, it's one of the coolest things in all of sports to me is walking through there. I mean, these people have tents, Billy and Aaron, that they have chandeliers. They have like chefs and
candelabra,
chefs, you know, hats and everything. And
yeah,
they're making omelets and French toast. And it's amazing.
Yeah.
Can you
top this? Yeah. You know, they're competing.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm looking forward to seeing all the Eli Manning stuff too, as
that's
a Giants
true,
fan.
Yeah.
I tell you what, the difference between Ole Miss and Mississippi State is unbelievable.
Oh my gosh.
In the fans. It's ridiculous.
Now, Mississippi State has upped its game at the stadium. There's no question, but it's not quite caught up.
While we're on the topic, we just got about 90 seconds left, Jeff. What is the best tailgate food?
Wow. Jeez.
It's got to be something that's grilled or smoked, right?
Yeah, you got to get something that's not something that's made, you know, by some place that's brought in. It's something that you're on there. I take a good brat being cooked or met on a charcoal grill over just about anything.
Have you any of you guys ever had the chicken that somebody jams over a beer can and sticks on the grill?
that's ridiculous.
I think
too.
I have,
beer can chicken and stuff. Oh,
you've had that?
Yeah, I think so.
Pretty good.
Yeah, never even heard of that one.
Oh, well, you're from Connecticut. Well, you know,
you go to some tailgates, it's like a community, you know? It's like you just come and get some of this.
Yeah. Well,
it's
Jeff,
better than the boat dock fish that Dick likes to eat.
No, stop. He's talking about tilapia, which if you don't cook it right, smells like boat dock and tastes like boat dock. So you don't want to
eat
that.
You don't get that at Mike Anderson's, my friend.
You do not. That is correct. Hey, champion, appreciate it. We will see you. I'll see you tomorrow, but we'll hear from you on Saturday.
All right, buddy.
Have
See
a good
you guys.
One. Jeff Pecoral, UK Radio Network, has covered a lot of bowl games, was part of two bowl game teams for Kentucky, and has seen quite the turnaround. He has lived the turnaround in Kentucky football. Thanks so much to all of you for being with us on all of our shows tonight. Back next week, same time, same place, for Aaron Gershon, for Billy Rutledge, Dick Gabriel. Thanks for joining us. That's it. Good night from Lexington on the Big Blue Insider Network.
You've been listening to Big Blue Insider, presented by the Cat's Paws. Big Blue Insider was brought to you by Kentucky Utilities, UK Healthcare, Prairie Farms, Barney Miller's, Mingy Beef Jerky, Boone's Butcher Shop, Northside RV, and by John's Run Walk Shop.